we get tired of hearing that music. I am Steve Gerwick along with Frank D. Another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, episode 36. It is July the 8th, 2014. And as always, check out Gerwick.net for your pro wrestling news. We got rosters, we got polls, we got results. And we've got a great audio section as well where you can check out previous podcasts that Frank D and I have done of the Gerwick Report podcast, the Diamond podcast, the Body Slam podcast, previous interviews we've done. So definitely check it out at gerwick.net. And real quickly, let's say hello to Frank D.
What's up, Steve, and ladies and gentlemen out there. And if I can give a quick plug right quick, go check out me and the Wrestling Jackal. We just did the review the other day for NWO Sold Out 97. So go check that out. It is the 19th year anniversary of the formation of the NWO. Can you believe that, Steve? 19 years.
It's hard to believe. We'll talk a little bit about some historical dates in wrestling history on this podcast, but definitely check out Frank D. and the Jackals review. You can check it out on Gerwick.net. You can download it on iTunes. You can listen to us on Spreaker, on Stitcher, and on TuneIn. So there's a lot of ways to check us out, and we always appreciate you listening. Hopefully you spread the word about the podcast as well. It is the podcast that tells it like it is. And Frank, we're going to tell it like it is because we got another hot topic to start the podcast off with. The WWE Network is now offering a free trial. 7 days in the current 7-day period now where you can sign up. Or actually, I guess you only have to put a credit card in. You just go on to a website that links you right to the WWE Network. Last night they had the preview of the Monday Night Wars. And I will say that I did watch it and I did think it was a very good show. Now, I wasn't sure tuning in at 11 o'clock after Raw last night exactly what I was going to get because it just said preview. So I didn't know if I was going to get a 15-minute teaser on what you might see because, of course, this is just a preview. But I think I got the first episode last night of the Monday Night Wars, the much-anticipated series that's coming in August. But Frank D. did not see it, and you would think if you don't see it, it's an on-demand service, the WWE Network, that you could watch the replay of it. And as we're finding out today, Frank, it appears that Monday Night Wars that aired on Monday night after Raw was just a preview, and it may not end up on the on-demand section.
Yeah, that sucks because I was at work at the time when this was going on, and when I got home, I checked the WWE Network, and I looked around all over the place. I looked in the vault section. It wasn't there, but I noticed they had put up some Saturday Night's Main Event episodes. And I went to the original content section of the network, and it wasn't there. So I'm like, huh, that's funny. Because on Sunday night, it was listed as airing on Monday. So I actually pushed the video then to see if it would play, and it gave me the notice that the video hadn't debuted yet, but it would be on demand once it's premiered. So I was like, okay, fine, I can watch it later. Not the case today. And it's just mind-boggling to me that this is the content that WWE has been touting since they made the announcement back in January about the WWE Network. And I know for a fact that myself and a lot of other people, after reading the Facebook of the WWE Network this morning, a lot of people did not see this episode of Monday Night War. And it's not even anywhere on the network. And I think that is a really stupid decision when you are having problems reaching that 1.1 million subscriber base you're trying to get.
It's the much-anticipated series. Now, I tuned in. I didn't know exactly what I was going to get. It just said preview. And I think WWE has to really work on the communication of what exactly they are delivering to you. I mean, what does a preview definitely entail? I didn't think I'd see an actual episode. As far as I can tell, it's a 20-part series. There are going to be 20 episodes in this series. So I watched the first 15 minutes and thinking, boy, this seems like a full episode. And before you knew it, an hour had passed. Now, I will say, I tuned in at 11 o'clock, and they were showing Money in the Bank, the replay, at 8 o'clock. So I'm tuning in at 11 o'clock to watch this new content. While I'm watching the end of Money in the Bank, seeing John Cena win and Triple H and Stephanie be in disarray of what's going on. And then I see a flashback to Natty Neidhart and Natalya winning the Women's Divas Championship from Michelle McCool. And then I saw a vignette of Mr. Perfect playing basketball. And then I saw the same Natalya clip where she wins the Divas Championship from Michelle McCool. And as I'm watching it for the second time, it cuts off, and all of a sudden, this Monday Night Wars content starts. So, Frank, this is a period now where they're offering the network for free for new subscribers or potential new subscribers. They're hoping everybody will tune in and start paying the $9.99 a month for the network. But you would think on a free trial, they'd have at least the kinks worked out from a programming note for showing what they're going to show. They're going to air a new series at 11 o'clock or a preview of the new series at 11 o'clock. So people tune in at 11 o'clock. It's not there. The thing I thought about later, Frank, is maybe they purposely delayed it to about 8 after, hoping most people are still watching Monday Night Raw, which a lot of times goes up with a 5-minute run over. But again, it was frustrating sitting there watching it at 11 o'clock, watching the end of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which, again, 3 hours of pay-per-view never goes 3 hours. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes or 2 hours and 50 minutes. So you think you tune in at 11 o'clock, it'll be over, and yet they're delaying it. They show the same thing over 2 times with the Natalya winning the Divas Championship. So you would think on a free trial, Frank, they'd have these kinks worked out, because we've already talked about streaming issues with the live pay-per-view specials and live TV shows. And yet, when people tune in for this free preview, they got more kinks, and the kinks are still not worked out.
Right. And then on top of that, you have, I mean, this has to be, since the network launched, this has to be probably the third free trial that they've done. So you would think, like you just said, they were having kinks work out, all the bugs would be worked out, and they would have a whole lot more content than what they have. I mean, we're in July now, and there was supposed to have been this huge update. You know, a lot of people thought on July 1st we're going to get this huge update of nothing but new content. And, you know, they put up about 13 episodes of Saturday Night's Main Event, and that's pretty much it. All the other sections of the network haven't been touched. The old school hasn't been touched in months. They have nothing new added to the WCCW. They have nothing new added to Hardcore TV. Nothing. I mean, they haven't added anything. And the only thing they've added recently has been a damn Vicky Guerrero special that nobody wants to watch. And I damn sure
it's archived.
It's archived. And I damn sure don't want to see Total Divas.
You know, Frank, we've talked about this before. Netflix, you can get a 30-day trial for Netflix. You can get a 7-day trial with Hulu. I believe Amazon Prime, you can get a trial. I think it's 30 days as well for their service. Why is it, if WWE's network is so good, why are they not offering a free trial all the time? And at least during periods where they're not leading up to WrestleMania, they're not leading up to SummerSlam, they're not leading up to Royal Rumble, the big ones, because they already want you to subscribe for those, but these couple of months, June, July, are the B pay-per-views. How come they don't offer a free trial all the time? Why is it that they have to set up this big special and shoot out text messages and tweets and special announcements on the website that they're offering a free trial? To me, Frank, if their service is good, offer a 7-day free trial at any period.
Well, I think that's what they would do. And I think they know that they have some major issues going on with this network right now. It's not getting off to the start that they thought it would. And I've always been like this since it launched. How many subscribers have they lost since the network started? From all the technical difficulties to all the glitches to people, you know, not being able to have it on their streaming device or whatever the situation may be, lack of content, whatever. How many people since that number came out at WrestleMania have they lost since then? And to me, Steve, honestly, they're doing these promotions right now because, you know, for a lot of us, a 6-month subscription is coming up for renewal, and they're also trying to get more people. But it's kind of making me kind of think about, does WWE internally know how many people are actually subscribing? And that's the reason why they're doing this push right now.
Well, we just read an article, I believe, the Business Insider, talking about the free trial, that WWE is well short of the 1.4 million subscribers they need to break even. So we know WWE is losing money on the network right now. And, you know, we really want issues with music worked out. We saw Saturday Night's Main Event premiere, but yet they don't have the Obsession song, which is why we played it here at the beginning of our podcast. They're not going to add this music. They're not going to work out music issues right now because they're cutting budget. We're hearing that season 2 of The Legends House, and another season of Tough Enough is delayed because Vince wants to cut the budget some more. We've had all kinds of problems with programming. One of the guys that was in charge of programming was kicked out. They fired him. And let's be honest, anything new is going to take some time to get the kinks out, get everything worked out. We understand that. But again, they are still having issues with menus. They're still having issues with live content. We had a situation where the Monday Night War preview didn't air until 8 minutes late. A couple of things got cut off. One thing repeated itself. And to me, Frank, by now, these kinks should be starting to be worked out. They've been up and running now since February, and yet here they are still offering a free trial because they need to get more subscribers. And I really think it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the end of August. I've said this before on the podcast, because that's going to be the period when the initial subscribers decide if they want to renew or not. All the people that signed up on the first day, within the first week, will decide at the end of August here, after SummerSlam, is this content worth me subscribing $10 a month? And not only $10 a month, but it's a $60 commitment because you need a six-month subscription to have the service on your systems. And as you've noted here, Frank, a lot of the content that you really want, that you want uncut, is available on YouTube and other platforms where you can get it for free. So why is somebody plunking down the money when you can go on YouTube and watch a Saturday night's main event with the music unedited? I think that's questions they have to really work out as the initial subscribers, me and you, make decisions at the end of August. Are we going to renew our subscriptions or not?
Well, you know, here's the thing. They edit these songs out, Steve, and these songs cannot be worth that much money in 2014. I mean, they say the cash line was uncensored, uncut, unedited, whatever it was.
And uncut, uncensored.
Uncut, uncensored. And that is the exact opposite of what you get on the network. Because it's like, yeah, there might be some nudity on some of the shows, but they blur it out, but yet you're supposed to say the content's uncensored. Well, uncensored means uncensored, not half censor, you know what I'm saying? So that's the problem you got to fix. The other problem is just giving the people what they want. You know, they're in a situation right now where it's hard for me to justify paying $9.99 a month when I could go on YouTube. You know, before you and I were doing a podcast, I'm looking around, I'm finding everything that I want to watch on YouTube that I can't find on the network, and I'm spending $9.99 on it every month, which is very disturbing to me.
In the original format it aired.
In the original format it aired, with the music and everything intact. The video quality might be a little but I can get by. I've been getting by way before the network launched. So they have been touting this situation about the network since 2011 that it was gonna launch. Well, we're in 2014 now. You had all that time from 11 up until now to work out all the bugs, work out all the kinks. They had time to do this. And they didn't do it. And that's the reason why we're at the situation right now where they're short of the 1.4 million subscribers they need to make the network work. The only reason why they're losing money on the network, the only reason why things are how they are right now is because they are not giving the people what the people want. If they gave the people what the people wanted and they were to tell people that this thing is viewable through not only your Android devices, not only your iPhone or whatever, it's also available. You can watch directly on your TV. And comfort in your living room like Netflix, I'm sure that they would get a lot more subscribers. But you got to fix the music issues. You got to fix the edit issues as far as some of these matches I have up there, Steve. Like the UK One Night Only 1987 doesn't even have the full show. It's the home video version that they released back in 1997-98. It doesn't even have the Bret Hart versus Undertaker match, which I understand was the best match they had of their series, not on the network. I mean, they hired a programming director, and they fired a guy, and then they hired somebody else. And then you read on the internet that the people who are working at the network don't even know what the hell's going on with the network. Now,
I tell you what, Frank, they've been sending out these surveys, and I don't get the surveys. I don't know why. I don't know if you have to sign up for them or whatever, but I don't get the surveys. But I tell you what, anybody listening to this podcast, send the podcast links to WWE Network, WWE Headquarters, and I'll tell them exactly what I think and why I'm not happy with the network right now. First and foremost, I do not care about Legends House. I know Frank D and I disagree on that. I don't want to see it. Okay? I don't want to see a reality show. I do not want to see Pat Patterson on my TV, period. And I do not want to see another season of Tough Enough. Okay? I got the network because I wanted the original content that I have not seen in years. I wanted the Bobby Heenan show. I want primetime wrestling. I want WWF Superstars with Vince and Jesse. I want Wrestling Challenge. I want Wrestling Spotlight. I want All-American Wrestling. I want WCW Saturday Night, WCW Main Event, etc., etc., etc. Where's Mid-South Wrestling? You took forever to get this volume library. You bought it from Bill Watts' wife. Took you years to finally get it. She finally caved. And now we've got the network. You were going to launch this thing in 2012. Where is UWF Wrestling? Where's all the great Freebird matches on there? Where's Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy fighting Devastation Incorporated? Where are Hacksaw Jim Duggan from Mid-South? Where's Junkyard Dog? You know, we're running this month, Frank, Junkyard Dog Hall of Fame. You could go back and watch some of those Mid-South tapes, the Ted DiBiase years from Mid-South. All that great stuff they're sitting on, and yet I got to sit through Vicky Guerrero's, excuse me, special, Legends House, things I do not want to see, Slam City. I'm looking at the content right now. There is so much there that is a waste of time. There was an article by Motley Fool, and they're pointing out there's too many wrestling fans for this network not to work. But the problem is they're not giving the wrestling fans what they want. We want Nitro. We want Thunder. We want The Rock's SmackDown when it was good back in the day. I want, you know what I'd really like to see? Sunday Night Heat. Remember when Sunday Night Heat was a must-see TV show? Yeah, where's those episodes at? And yet, I'm being bombarded with all this new content that I do not want to see. And if they're out there listening, I'm not getting the survey, but this is why people are not happy. We are the old wrestling fans. We want to see the old wrestling stuff. We got the 80s and 90s stuff, 70s stuff out there, a lot of AWA footage I'm not seeing on the network. And bottom line, they're just not delivering what I thought they would deliver. And I don't know if they purposely decided that they're just going to slowly, gradually bring this stuff out. But, Frank, these are core stuff that should be on the network. And why are we waiting for all this stuff? Where is Monday Nitro? I do not want to see the garbage you're giving me. Give me the stuff I really want to see.
Where is Monday Nitro? Where is WCW Thunder? Where is WCW Pro Wrestling? Where is, you know, the NWA Power Hour? Where is Shotgun Saturday Night? Where is all these shows that they have in the archive? Where is the old episodes of Livewire back in the day? None of the stuff that we want to see is on the network. But, yep, you got time to put up a Vicky Guerrero damn special. You got time to put up Total Divas. I don't want to see that. I like Legends House. I thought Legends House was the most entertaining thing they had on the damn network. Okay? I've gone through all the pay-per-views. I don't want to see any more of the pay-per-views back in the day. Put on some old stuff. Let's see the shows that led up to these pay-per-views. You know what I'm saying? Let's do that. Okay? But they're wasting their time with putting up Raws from 2013. And come on, man. Raw hasn't been a hot show in years. So why do I want to see it? I want to see episodes of Raw back in the Attitude Era when the show mattered. I want to see Nitro. I want to see Tuesday Night Titans with Vince. You know, that's the stuff that I want to see. Nobody wants to see Total Divas or Slam City or Raw post show and Raw backstage pass. I could give a crap about the new version of WWE Superstars. Oh.
A SmackDown pre-show. I don't even want to watch SmackDown.
I don't watch SmackDown. Exactly. So why
I don't
want to
watch a pre-show for.
Why the hell do you
want to watch the stuff I want to watch? Give me the 2003 SmackDown shows.
Yeah, exactly. Give me the 1999, 2000 SmackDown shows.
Yeah, the old ones, when they first debuted and people were watching them.
Exactly.
When it was The Rock show.
Exactly.
And it had the big fist out there.
We can't get
they're
that.
Just not – they are pushing the current stuff, Frank. Nobody is – I mean, the audience is way down for the current stuff. People are not digging Raw. People are not digging SmackDown. We've got Jim Cornette talking today about today's wrestling product, and he just cringes. The people running the show just make him cringe. It's driving him insane. You've got Scott Steiner talking about the WWE product being embarrassing. This PG stuff is not working. I mean, you come from a time where it was the Attitude Era and you pushed the envelope. I mean, I don't need to see grown men telling me to suck it. But Frank, I need a little edgier product. I need characters that matter. I'm watching a Saturday night's main event and I'm watching the Funk Brothers versus JYD and Hulk Hogan. I'm watching four Hall of Famers. How many future Hall of Famers do they have on that current roster? And a lot of them will get in because there just wasn't any other stars around at the time. But Frank, where are the superstars? Where are the angles? Where are the storylines that's engaging me to watch Raw every week? Like I said, I don't want to watch a Raw pre-show. I don't want to see the backstage pass after the show. I don't want to see roundtable discussions on the current product because the current product sucks.
Right.
I want to see the stuff that I grew up watching when wrestling was really hot, when I used to have a hotline because I wanted to talk about wrestling and it being really good. What happened to the days when I had a wrestling syndicated column, that I was on King's Feature Syndicate, that I was syndicated all across this country when wrestling was good and people were talking about WCW and people were talking about WWF, and that you go to work and people say, hey, did you see Raw last night? Or you were on the playground and you say, oh my goodness, did you see what happened on Nitro last night? I gotta tune in. I wonder what's gonna happen tonight. We don't have that stuff now. And we could go back to that period and pique our interest, but yet we're wasting our time with boring stuff that people do not want to see. And as you said, Frank, I think there will be a time in August here when people are deciding if they're gonna renew or not, because like I said, you don't just renew it for 1 month like Netflix or Hulu. You have to sign up for 6 more months. You have to commit $60 additional to this network. And right now, Frank, I don't know if the value is there. I mean, it's great to have all these pay-per-views at one finger click, but what you're getting with the ECW pay-per-views are a joke. What you're getting with all the music being cut out is ridiculous. You get Saturday night's main event. We finally get a chance to see it. And the song that made the show, that opened the show for every episode, Obsession, is gone. So deliver what you promised to deliver. And until then, let's forget all this backstage crap and after the show and these roundtable discussions with Booker T and Alex Riley. And who cares about this stuff, Frank? Deliver what you said you deliver.
Yeah, who cares about Raw pre-show? Who gives a damn? Nobody cares. I mean, and I can tell you nobody cares. Because at one point, WWE was putting up what the most rated shows, most watched shows on the network was. They haven't done that in a while.
That's right. They haven't.
Because
I wonder why.
Yeah. They haven't done that in a while because the products you guys currently have on there suck. That's why. I don't even know about a pre-show, Raw, post-show. Like I said, SmackDown, who cares? SmackDown, I haven't watched SmackDown in almost a year. It's just bad rubbish. It's all it is. Yeah, you got some guys out there in the current era, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, the Wyatt family, the Usos. Yeah, those are real good talents. But nobody's watching The Miz. So why would I want to go to the network and watch anything current with The Miz on? It's just crazy to me that they have all this 70, whatever, how many hours, 1,000 hours of stuff they have in their library, but yet we only have a small percentage of that on the network. And they actually cut back on content because, you remember, Steve, there was supposed to be a lot more stuff on there than there is right now. I mean, from what I understood back in the day, when they launched this network back in January, they said they were going to have every DVD on the network that the company ever produced would be available on the initial launch. That didn't happen. And a lot of the stuff I've already seen. A lot of the stuff I already have. So it's pretty much like a cash 22. What do you have in the library that I have never seen before? That makes me want to spend $9.99 for 6 months. And I'm sorry, but the pay-per-views are just not getting it for me because I never ordered the pay-per-views to begin with. So I don't care about the pay-per-views. I want to see the old content that I grew up on as a kid. It's supposed to be a nostalgia feeling. When you have a video that you're trying to watch or a show that you're trying to watch and the music is removed, that takes away the nostalgic feeling you're going for. And I don't think the WWE understands that. I mean, they see there's a money thing with the music and they got to pay licenses and all that stuff. And then people out here will say, oh, music isn't a big deal. Music is a very big deal in wrestling. Music is a very big deal in anything you do. Music is a big deal in movies. Music is a big deal in TV shows. What makes wrestling so big? Music is all about wrestling because, you know, bottom line is that when a wrestler comes out to the ring, they hit that note, you know exactly who it is. We don't want to hear dubbed over crappy music that the wrestlers never came out to. If I'm watching a show and I see the Midnight Express come out, I want to hear the Midnight Express music. If I'm watching a show and I see Hogan come out with Voodoo Child, I want to hear Voodoo Child. Bottom line.
Yeah, I think a lot of maybe part of them not bringing us back to the boom periods is it sheds light on how bad today's product is. And maybe that's been the hesitation to put some of this stuff on there. I mean, we're getting the Monday Night Wars in a condensed version, a documentary-type product, which I will say, what I saw last night on the Monday Night Wars, if that was the first episode, really good series. Look, that's the kind of stuff I want to see. You know, we live WWF having a relationship, Vince McMahon having a relationship with the Turners back in the day where they were actually showing WWF stuff or WF stuff on Turner. And then Turner deciding, if you're going to be on USA Network, then we don't want your programming here. Goodbye. And that's the kind of stuff I want to see. The Jim Crockett stuff, the NWA stuff. And, you know, we got that last night. It was really refreshing to see that Monday Night War show. But why is it taking so long to get on there? And why don't we just start seeing some of the classic Nitros, the classic Raws from the boom period, from the Monday Night War era? Like I said, I don't know, Frank, does it just shed light on how lack of star power there is today, the lack of storylines, the lack of, I guess it just shows the lack of creativity in today's product.
Well, yeah, I mean, today's product is just garbage. I mean, you know, see, like you said earlier, wrestling used to be the talk. You know, you go to work Monday. I know for me when I was a kid, it would be, I go to school and people were like, oh, did you see Nitro last night? It's all Raw. You tell anybody today that you're a wrestling fan, first thing I'm going to tell you is why. Second thing is, oh, WWE, that's for kids.
That's right.
That's what they're going to tell you. Oh, you watch WWE, that's for kids. I don't like to watch UFC. I don't find it entertaining at all that two guys wearing, you know, spandex shorts with no shoes on getting on top of one another, grinding and pounding. I don't really find it entertaining.
I tell you what, Frank, as I said this before, you know, back in the day when it was WCW, ECW, WF, you know, a Sunday night would come and there was a pay-per-view and I would get phone calls. Hey, you getting that pay-per-view? You want to come over and watch a pay-per-view? We'll get a couple guys over and we'll split it. I mean, now you can watch the pay-per-views for $9.99 and I can't get anybody to come over.
Yeah.
I call, hey, you going to watch this pay-per-view? Probably not.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's a totally different ballgame today and you're seeing, I mean, Scott Steiner saying it's an embarrassing product today. I don't know if I'd go as far as say it's embarrassing, but to me it's just boring.
There's just nothing
compelling about it. I mean, I remember, you know, you had to watch Sunday Night Heat. That kicked off the week because Sunday Night Heat would be a good lead-in to Monday Night Raw.
Yep.
Now Raw comes, who cares? SmackDown tapes the show, who cares? There's just no emphasis today on the characters. The character development stink. They break up tag teams. There's no managers. There's just nothing compelling about today's product. And I think the ratings bear that out. And I know people will say, well, again, it's a different era. The TV's different. There's more television stations. There's more programming out there available. But again, Frank, it's just, to me, it's just sugarcoating the fact that what you're delivering is not what wrestling fans want to see. And quite frankly, I think a lot of wrestling fans have really checked out. And just not buying the stuff, not buying the merchandise, not going to house shows, and not buying the network. And I think that's the whole problem right now. And I think that's why you're seeing Vince McMahon say, hey, let's cut $20 million. Let's cut the budget even more. We saw the talent cuts. And yet Vince still wants to cut even more talent or cut even more out of the budget right now. And I guess it really shows you that right now in the early stages, the network is not working. To me, Frank, they have to work on the communication. What is it that they're delivering? What is on the network? What is it that people want to see? How do you watch it? And I think the communication between the network and the fans, there's such a lacking communication that people don't exactly know what they're getting, when it's on, where it's available. And I think they really have to work on the marketing of this network. I mean, why aren't they pushing the old pay-per-views? Why are they pushing all the current stuff that people do not want to see right now?
Right. Who's running this network? TNA? Seriously, has Dixie got her hands on this? Because this is the whip, man. This is the 800-pound gorilla. This is the machine running this network, and they can't get it right. They haven't got anything right in years. Vince McMahon has become so complacent since they bought WCW that the product is so stale. He has no reason to fix anything because he's been, you know, feeding you crap for years and you still eat it. The moment you stop eating it is the moment that they'll change things. Right now, people are not eating the crap on the network. So they got to figure out a way to get you to start eating again. And the way to do that is get rid of your current crap, your Total Divas, all that dumb, stupid stuff that nobody wants to watch, okay? And put on, like, okay, here's an idea. Back in the day, they used to do MSG house show cards on TV. They have some of those in the old school. Why not send, hey, you got a camera? Let's record some of these house shows and put them on the network, right?
Yep.
Let's do that. Or let's get them vaults. And because I'm telling you, you know, sometimes, a lot of the times when you have these house shows, they're a lot more entertaining than the actual TV shows.
Exactly.
Why not do that? Why not, you know, put on, I mean, there was rumors of a studio show that they were going to do in the summer. I mean, I don't know if it's sure or not, but I read that Jonathan Coachman might not be coming back to WWE now.
Yeah, remember they were going to do like a Sports Center type program?
And what I read, Jonathan Coachman might not be coming back after all.
Well, honestly, I don't know why he'd leave ESPN to go back to WWE.
Exactly.
I mean, ESPN is doing well, and the network is not right now. So, I mean, he climbed the ladder to get that job. He earned his spot on ESPN. I wouldn't go back to the network right now or WWE at all. I would stay at ESPN. And I mean, we've heard about shows that they've talked about being scrapped right now, and that was one. I forgot all about that. The magazine type show, the news format, the mothership show, like ESPN's mothership show is ESPN Sports Center. Where is their mothership show? Where is the show that people want to tune in? Maybe they could have a show where they could preview things coming up on the network and really educate fans on how this network works and where you can find this content and what's coming up at the end of the week, what's coming up next month. And like I said, I think one of the biggest problems they have is just communication and just reaching, just telling the fans exactly what it is they offer, when you can see it, and how you can see it. Like I said, we had that question, was it podcast before, about the can you watch the WWE Network on your smart TV? And I wasn't exactly sure. I contacted Vizio, and the TV that I have, a smart TV, and I said, can I get the WWE Network through my app store here? And they said they don't offer it yet, which I don't know if that means they will eventually. You would think so. It'd be a great way to, you just plug in your smart TV, add the WWE Network app, and you're all set. But right now, I don't believe that's the case. You basically need a Roku box, Apple TV, et cetera, to access the network on your television system. So I don't know, Frank. I guess the bottom line is it's just frustrating. This could be such a great network. I mean, Sunday night they could have Sunday night Heat at 7 o'clock and maybe show a pay-per-view, and then on Monday nights, they could have primetime wrestling or an old episode of Nitro or Raw, or they could rotate it. Thursday nights, we could have a SmackDown or a Thunder. I mean, there's a lot of things they could do. 6:05 on a Saturday, like what even Lance Storm was talking about, just so many missed opportunities now with the network, and them talking about cutting things is not the direction to go. I mean, if Vince really wants this to work, Frank, I think he's really got to put some time and effort into it.
Yeah, exactly. They got to put some time into it. They got to change the whole marketing scheme and, you know, just put stuff on there that people would actually want to watch. But I can already know, I know right now that they're probably already in the old Titan Towers talking about how can we raise that price?
Yeah.
How can we do that? Let's go ahead and take a network where we barely have any content on it to begin with that people want to watch. Let's raise the price. We haven't added Nitro. We haven't done anything we say we're going to do. But let's go ahead and add and hike the price up $2. Watch. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that'd be the wrong direction to go, but anything's possible now, and I'd really like to see, and again, if they're listening and people are sending this to the network or put it on your Twitter at WWE Network, let them know that we're talking about the network here. We've talked about it a lot here on this podcast, in previous episodes of the podcast, and on today. I mean, we've spent almost 40 minutes here talking about the network because we want the network to succeed, and just give us what we want. I mean, that's the bottom line. And I think for the future, Frank, I'd really like to see them eliminate the six-month commitment. I think people are hesitant about it because, like I said, it's not like Netflix or Hulu where you are going month to month. It's not like you rent your apartment month to month, and if at the end of the month you want to get out, you let them know you're going to move out. People are committed to 6 months. And, you know, unless you're having a lot of crashing issues, like we've talked about this before, there's been a few people let out of their commitment because of all the issues with streaming and certain devices it didn't work well on. We talked about Xbox and all the other issues they've had. But if you're going to order WWE Network, if you're going to plunk down the money, it's 6 months. It's $9.99 for 6 months. So it's a $60 commitment. So I believe the Prime, Amazon Prime, offers a reduced rate for a one-year subscription. I believe now Prime, and you could probably speak to this, Frank, because I think you're a subscriber. I think you have to sign up for a year of Prime now to get it. I don't think you can do month-to-month anymore.
No, I signed up for a year, and I believe it's $100 for a year. But you get a lot of content. You get a lot of different stuff. It's a lot of caveats in that $100. You get not only the Amazon Prime streaming, which they have a lot of different movies on there, a lot of different TV shows they have on there. You get free shipping on any order you want that you order from Amazon. So you get a lot of stuff. They offer you something on that. WWE is not really offering you anything. I mean, it's not like I'm going to go to the network and I can order the network. And then I'm like, since I'm a network subscriber, do I get a discount with, you know, say if I want to order something from WWE shop, do I get a discount off the T-shirts or something like that? They got to put more emphasis on offering to get people to jump over and subscribe to this thing.
Well, remember, they were offering that if you get what people to sign up for the network, you get a discount on your...
Yeah, I know a bunch of people that did that and didn't work.
Yeah. So, yeah, they don't push that anymore, you noticed?
Yeah, they don't push it anymore because it was a lie. That was a bunch of crap. I know a lot of people who have the network that were trying to get people over to do that so they could get that little $25 gift card received. That gift card is nothing, man. When T-shirts start at $25 and up, that's nothing. That was a whole scheme to begin with.
Yeah, my only criticism of going back to Prime as an example, I really prefer the month-to-month services, the Netflix, the Hulu, because it's month-to-month. At the end of the month, I'm not happy, and we see Netflix, you know, lose programming every month. They add programming, they lose programming. Their content changes. It's not all the same. If at the end of the month I don't like Netflix, I say, okay, I'm done with Netflix. Goodbye. If I'm done with Hulu, I just say goodbye. Prime, it's a one-year commitment. And I guess my big criticism with Prime right now is some of the shows that I'd like to watch through Amazon, you still have to pay, even though you're a subscriber, pay $1.99 for episodes. I remember I was reaching out to you about like Home Improvement and Starsky and Hutch and some other shows like that. Jeffersons, I like to go in there and watch, and you still have to plunk down, even though you have the subscription, you still have to plunk down $1.99 per episode. And I could, WWE didn't go that route. They could say, here's the stuff you get for free or part of the network subscribers, but if you want to watch certain shows, it's $1.99 an episode. If you want to watch, as the one you reviewed, the WCW sold out to 1997, you download it for $1.99. So they know they didn't go that route. They went this route of 6 month commitment. Maybe they say, hey, you know, if you want Prime, it's a 1 year commitment. We're only wanting 6 month commitment. I don't know. I just really see them. I mean, to me, if the subscription is service is so good, you should offer a free trial at any point, 7 days, let people get a chance to see it. I can see maybe excluding WrestleMania week or SummerSlam week or something like that. But to me, Frank, they should always offer a free trial like the other services do. And to me, I think they should be month to month for subscription prices.
Yeah, month to month would be better. Locking people into the subscription kind of is the reason why people are probably not signing up, because people don't want to be locked into a contract they can't get out of. A lot of people have that same issue with cell phone companies. If you have a cell phone contract, you're locked in that guy contract for 2 years. And it's going to cost you upwards of $400 to $500 to get out of that contract. And people just don't want to be locked in the contracts. If they change their model, like say at Netflix, and they'll say, well, we'll charge you $9.99 a month to month basis, where you're not locked into the contract, I think a lot more people will sign up. Because people are complaining, you know, I'm paying all this money and I'm not getting what I want. It's easy to walk away if it's month to month. And then later on, you can come back to it and say, if there's something on their network that you want to see, I can come back to it later.
That's the whole thing. If your service is good and you expect people to pay $9.99 a month, let it be month to month, because the content should sell you for the next month.
Right.
I mean, there should be no way you could watch everything in a month.
No.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, they're adding more content.
But
so if it's such
not.
A good service,
that's wrong.
If it's such
they're
a good
not.
Service, really think about going to a monthly plan. But I guess maybe if they do the monthly plan, then maybe they do raise the price per month.
If they were to raise the price per month, say they raise it from $9.99 to maybe $10.99 or $11.99 a month, I don't have a problem paying that as long as I'm getting what I want.
Right.
That's the bottom line. I don't have a problem. Listen, I have money, and I can. I don't have a problem paying what they want as long as I'm getting what I want. It should be. I mean, WWE Network should be the network that gives the fans what they want, not the network that gives you what we want. That's what it should be.
The cost cutting content that right. we dubbed out all the music
yeah.
and made all the edits, and then here. Now you can watch.
Yeah, exactly. Now you can watch this piece of crap where if a wrestler comes out to the ring like Diamond Dallas Page, who you know, see for a fact, was getting major pops when he came out in WCW that you can't even hear anymore because they have to dub over his music. And once again, hey, you know what? Message Jimmy Hart a few weeks ago. Jimmy Hart wrote back and says it's a complicated matter that they're working on. You know what? Hey, Jimmy Hart, if you're listening to the podcast, you should tell the WWE right now that a lot of people are complaining about content and music. And if you don't fix it, Frank D won't be a subscriber past August. I guarantee you that one.
Well, to me, if it's a complicated issue and you were ready to launch in 2012, why haven't you worked it out by now? We run that picture, the graphic of 2012, WWE Network coming 2012. Well, they didn't work out the music issues. They didn't work out the editing issues. And then they kind of, still, to me, kind of rushed it to 2014 to get core stuff on there. But again, the material, the content that people really want to see is just still not there.
Well, here's the funny thing about it is, you know, I don't know how they're doing it, but I noticed the other day that on one of the DVD releases that WWE put out that's on Netflix, I noticed that, you know, we can hear Michael Buffer clear as day on the network, right? But on the DVDs, he's still dubbed over. You can't hear him. So it's
wow.
like, it's, you know, Steve, I really wish that WWE would, like, put on a class or something where I can understand what the hell they're doing with their editing, because it doesn't make sense to me.
Maybe they need to go to a premium WWE network for $14.99 a month, give us what we want, and if people don't care, they want to pay the cheaper $9.99 and see the edited crap, the music dubbed out, all the content missing, shows missing, then you can have the current WWE Network for $9.99.
Hey,
if you have
that sounds
two
like
different services.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, if this is the model, then, yeah, charge me a couple more dollars a month and give me what I want. Give me the uncut music. Give me the Midnight Express music on all the pay-per-views, the Rock and Roll Express music, the Freebirds music, et cetera, et cetera. Because when I go back and want to watch a show from 1990 or 1987, I want the original music. I don't want it edited out.
Right.
When I'm watching Saturday Night's Main Event, I want the Animotion music. It, to me, it really loses the authentic feel of the show when that music is missing.
Right.
So,
and people don't get
you know,
that.
If you want to give me WWE Network Plus, where it has all the stuff, then charge me $14.99 a month and give it to me.
I would gladly pay it.
Yeah, I would too. Absolutely, for the stuff that they have, the stuff they're sitting on, the content they have, the hours of material. Like I said, we haven't even seen Mid-South Wrestling yet.
No, I haven't seen it. And, dude, where's the AWA stuff?
I don't know. You think that would be – I mean, Vern Gagne is in their Hall of Fame. They have their footage. What's taking so long to get AWA content? I don't know if it's an issue with – was ESPN still show AWA reruns? I don't know. But, I mean, they have the library put on AWA wrestling. I mean, that they should be promoting, hey, check out the AWA. Check out where Mr. Perfect came from and Scott Hall came from and Larry Zbysko and Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter and the Road Warriors, Freebirds. Why don't they push that? I mean, don't you think the average wrestling fan would say, hey, I'd love to see the Road Warriors in the AWA back in the day. You know, I'd love to see the Freebirds wrestle on the AWA shows. You know, see Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy and Buddy Rogers. But they, again, they're just sitting on this stuff. They're sitting on this content. Some of that stuff they paid a lot of money to get, and yet, again, a lot of the footage is still not there. And I don't know. I've heard nothing in the future them adding AWA or Mid-South. Have you?
No, I haven't.
So that's not a priority. But it's a priority to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think still the biggest issue is communication, communicating what you have and selling the product. But maybe they purposely do that because – you know, they're not delivering on original stuff. You notice they don't really push that moniker of uncut, uncensored anymore because people know it's not uncut. It's not uncensored. It's filtered.
It's called false advertising is what it's called.
Right.
It's called a lawsuit if I really wanted to go there.
You're not delivering what you said you would deliver. And again, they're going to rush us in 2012. All these issues have not been worked out. The platforms still there's still a disconnect with some of the platforms. Again, my Roku box doesn't have the menus that you can get on the WWE Network's website, the WWE.com site. So, gosh, Frank, I really hope they work this stuff out. And I'm looking forward to the Monday Night Wars. I'm really interested to seeing some more original programming from, you know, shows they could do. They can sit down with all the former WWF superstars and WWE superstars and, you know, maybe make a documentary for WWE Network exclusively rather than making documentaries for their DVD releases. Because, you know, we're the ones paying $10 a month, and give us something original that you can't get anywhere else. So, you know, we'll see where they go. But that's our thoughts on the WWE Network. Frank, the last time we did a podcast, we were talking about the Emma situation where she allegedly, reportedly stole an iPad mini case valued at $21. She got arrested. And the last podcast we were talking that we thought she'd never be back on WWE television. And pretty much as we predicted, she was released. And as the story was already crazy enough about her being arrested for a $20 item, shortly after she was released, she was reinstated, and I don't know, Frank, if we're ever going to see her on television again. I think that's yet to be seen. Of course, she's an Australian citizen, so there was some issues maybe with her visa, but I have never seen them release somebody and then within hours reinstate them.
Reading the report, is she committed larceny, grand larceny, by selling a $21 iPod case or whatever it was, and I mean, you know, see, the bottom line is that mistakes can happen. I see it happen all the time when I'm at Walmart, where you're going through the self-checkout, and sometimes you forget things. I cannot imagine that this woman who's on TV, well, hasn't really been on TV, but, you know, a WWE diva would actually risk her career by selling a $21 iPod case. I just can't see this. If a person was to do something like that, that would be just like a very idiotic decision. And the fact that WWE have had so many people that they've had, you know, encounters with the law where people have had numerous DUI charges and they still have their job, to fire her over an iPod case was a really stupid decision. I think they realized that before the story really got going, before people started really to judge the company on firing her, they rehired her to basically say, you know what, we want to sweep this under the rug as quickly as we can. Let's get back to basics and let's just forget about this whole mess. But I do believe, Steve, if she is back on television, they're probably going to have her playing the pickpocket or somebody like that.
Maybe she could work with the Repo Man or something.
She could be the new Repo Man, female version.
There you go. Yeah, that's there's an idea for you. I definitely agree. There was quite a backlash when they announced the release of Emma. It's just like a double standard. There's so many other things they let go, and you know, you make one mistake, and I really hope it's a mix-up. Maybe with them reinstating her, maybe they got more information about what happened, and maybe they say, hey, maybe this was a mistake.
Right.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, they have surveillance cameras everywhere now in those stores, but you know, maybe it was a mistake. As you said, you know, you go to the checkout and you just forget to pay for something. It happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it all the time. People put stuff in a shopping cart and they put something at the bottom of the shopping cart and they go right through. They don't pay for it. Didn't mean they intentionally did it. Maybe they forgot it was on the bottom of their cart. I don't know. We don't have any more details on the situation, but for her sake, I hope it was a mix up and I hope it doesn't destroy her career because, you know, she's followed this path of wrestling in Australia, going to Lance Storm School, got some real good training, and let's hope that, you know, she can get through this and that maybe she'll make it back on the main roster again and they'll actually push her.
Yeah, that main roster thing, yeah, you can keep the girl. She can have a job, right? But she don't need to be on the main roster. That retarded dance she does, that's just, that's not going to get over. I mean, people look at that like people look at her like she's stupid.
Well, one of the people that she was working with, Santino, of course, is now retired, Frank. I know it broke your heart when you heard that Santino was hanging up the tights.
You know, Steve, actually it didn't. Really, it didn't. I don't want to sound like a prick, but I can really give a damn. I can care less. You know, I was never a Santino Marella fan. I'm not even going to come out here and fake and say that I was. I never was. I thought the guy always sucked. I think when they put him on DVDs, like they put Arn Anderson on DVDs, it's cringeworthy. So, I can care less. You know, if the guy's neck is that bad, I mean, put it like this, man. He's not going to get the Edge send-off, okay? So, whatever. Good riddance to bad rubbish.
You would think at least he could have made the announcements on Monday Night Raw.
See, would anybody actually care?
No, of course not. But, I mean, if he's going to... He's been a character now for a number of years in WWE. You'd think at least they could give him the send-off on Raw. But I guess he got to do the announcement in Toronto, where he's from. And I believe he's what opened a wrestling school up there, right? MMA wrestling school. So he's got another project to be involved in. And I know you respect, you know, there was a lot of speculation what they might do with him. Do you think they retain him and use him as a television character, or do you think we've kind of seen the last of Santino Marella?
You know, right now with the budget cuts going on, I would think they would get rid of him.
Yeah.
What do you need Santino for? I mean, it's not like the guy is a ratings, you know, grabber. He's as much of a ratings grabber as Eric Young.
That's right.
So.
And speaking of ratings, now, we don't have much to say about the Dead brand this week because – the problem is, Frank, when you do television, tape it 7 weeks in advance, there's not a lot to talk about. There's no pay-per-views coming up. Last I checked, Kurt Angle didn't get arrested again or anything like that, Jeff Hardy. So we don't really have a lot of news with TNA, but the rating did go up a little bit. It went to up 1.1 for last week's Impact Wrestling with the day before the July 4th weekend. So I guess that's pretty good. Again, you know, considering it's July 4th weekend and the NBA playoffs wasn't on or the NBA draft wasn't going on or they didn't show a rerun of network news or ESPN didn't show Bill Years or something. So I guess that's a pretty decent rating right now for TNA.
Yeah, you know, it's a good rating for TNA. And Steve, you know, they got so much momentum right now. I mean, the ratings are going through the roof. I'm gonna eventually have to stop calling them the dead brand because
really,
they're just I mean, the company right now. I mean, Steve, you gotta understand something. TNA right now is a Fortune 500 company. They're all over the place. Everybody's talking about them. They're in the mainstream. I mean, everybody's talking about TNA. And right now, I mean, they're part of this big wrestling boom that Jeff Jarrett talks about. And everything right now in the wrestling business is just unbelievable. See, it was just spectacular. And it's all because it was of TNA's six-sided ring coming back. I mean, wow.
You know, Frank, we were just talking in show prep that right now TNA is running pre-taped episodes of Impact. ROH right now is currently showing older material that they've pre-taped for other specials. ROH, the weekend of their pay-per-view, did a hype show. The weekend after, they had a special on Michael Elgin, his path to the ROH title, which was good. But then this week I tune into ROH because I was a little behind on watching the ROH show. They're showing War of the Worlds. And I did get a chance to see Red Dragon win the ROH tag team titles from the Young Bucks. And if you've never seen that match, it's definitely worth ordering the show to see that match. It was a great match. A lot of close finishes at the end. Fans really hyped it. And this was, again, Frank, this was a show they should have showed on their first pay-per-view. They were in the Manhattan Center. The fans were going nuts. Chance of ROH. This is awesome, etc. But, again, I tune into ROH over the weekend to kind of see where they go in the aftermath of the pay-per-view that you saw and you reviewed. And they went back in time as they're taking a breather from the pay-per-view. There's no first-run episodes right now, and they're going back kind of in history and showing other things. And it's sad that they don't have any new shows to show, because I'd like to see where Ring of Honor goes from that pay-per-view. Who's going to feud with Michael Elgin going forward? Who are going to challenge Red Dragon for the tag team straps? Where do they go with Jay Lethal, et cetera? And I tune in, Frank, and they're showing an older show, which is kind of disappointing, but I mean, it's a good show to see. It's good wrestling to see. But, again, they're not developing any new storylines, new characters, et cetera, right now.
Yeah, and that's a shame because they have so much momentum coming off that Best in the World pay-per-view there. And I think that the thing with Ring of Honor is that I think that they're going to have to do some kind of split show with New Japan. And that way you can have AJ Styles and the rest of the Bullet Club on the show. That's one of the things that I was looking forward to, because I actually thought that they had, you know, this working relationship, that AJ Styles might possibly be on the show and he can come back to Nashville and pretty much tell the TNA, you know, organization to stick it. And that didn't happen. Now, I know that they have that TNA or New Japan and ROH are going to be doing something in a couple of months or whatever. Maybe that would be the day they come back on pay-per-view to do something. But I do agree with you. See, they right now they kind of got no momentum going on right now because they haven't released any new dates and they haven't said anything about the pay-per-view, how much it drew, or anything like that. So it's going to be very interesting to see where they go from here, if they'll put new episodes, if there's going to be any kind of return date for pay-per-view, if the Bullet Club's going to be involved in that, if it will be a title versus title between Michael Elgin and AJ Styles. You know, everything is up in the air right now.
Yeah, I was really hoping to see some new content this weekend, and it was a good show. I enjoyed watching the War of the Worlds, and I guess you can order that through the on-demand streaming service on ROHWrestling.com. They're a cheap plug for ROH. Like I said, if you've not seen the Red Dragon Young Bucks match, that's a really good match. Like I said, that should easily be a match of the year candidate. And again, not a lot of people seen it. It's great that they show it on TV. But you know, this weekend I wanted to see some new matches, new stories, where they go from here. And I believe they have a television taping set for July 19th in Dearborn, Michigan, which I believe may be Kevin Steen's last match with ROH. He did a promo talking about he's got three final opponents, and I believe the last opponent's going to be Steve Corino, get him back in the ring. But it was disappointing that I tuned in. There was no original show. It was a kind of a best-of taped show, And I will say that ROH does a really good job promoting their upcoming shows. They do a really good job promoting ROHWrestling.com on-demand service, etc. But again, I just was hoping to see some original content this week. And I said, you know, Frank, we got TNA is showing tape shows. ROH has best of shows, retrospective shows, hype shows. WWE Network is having all the issues they're having. Raw and SmackDown are stale. So unless something really pops up, there's not a lot to talk about with current stuff with wrestling right now, unless somebody gets arrested again.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's. And hopefully that doesn't happen. I don't want to look on here and see that Michael Elgin is the world champion and he was arrested at a Target, you know, for selling a bag of chips. I don't want to see that.
We did hear that Renee Young, I know one of your favorite WWE announcers, is now the new lead voice of WWE Superstars.
Well, the only reason why they put her on there and not, I mind you, main event or SmackDown is because she probably really sucks, and we're going to let her go on Superstars, the show that nobody watches. They, in my opinion, they should have released Byron Saxton and kept Josh Matthews. I cannot believe, Steve, that Josh Matthews was a guy who had been with the company for years, and he was on the bottom of the list of announcers. Here's somebody who put in time. You know, put in time there. You remember, he was part of those stupid vignettes back in the day with the referee committing suicide. I forgot his name.
Tim White?
Tim White, there you go. All those stupid, clunky, stupid stuff they were doing there. He was part of all that stuff. And the guy got canned, but yeah, we keep around JBL, right? We keep around Byron Saxton. I mean, really?
Again, WWE Main Event is a show they show on the network that I don't really want to see. In fact, I don't know, Frank. I've not seen who is the lead voice of WWE Main Event right now.
See, I can't tell you because I don't watch it.
Yeah, so I don't know. So I thought maybe was it Josh Matthews at one time, and maybe Renee Young will eventually take that spot as well. I don't know. I don't watch Main Event because I don't want to watch Main Event.
I don't know. Maybe,
C or D show? Maybe of a weak product right now? I don't know.
Maybe overbite Renee. Maybe she's screwing Kevin Nunn or somebody, and that's how she got her slot.
I don't know, but it seems strange that they let Josh Matthews go, who was a pretty good announcer, a very underrated announcer.
I thought Matthews was doing fine.
Yeah. We did see, kind of a sad note in wrestling, a guy who had a prominent role in TNA, especially during the early days of TNA, when they had the X Division really booming, and they had Team Canada was a great faction in the company. Petey Williams decided to retire over the weekend. He had his last match was against Chris Sabin in what would have been Clinton Township in Michigan, close to where he lives. I believe he's living in Canada now, in Toronto area or Windsor area, I believe. But I thought it was a very underrated talent. Had one of the best finishes in a long time with a Canadian Destroyer. And I was really sad to hear that Petey Williams is hanging it up. I thought he was a phenomenal talent, and I think he'll be missed in wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a guy who I really enjoyed his work in the NWA TNA days. I first saw him as part of Team Canada back in the day on TNA programming. The first thing that really got me was the Canadian Destroyer, that finish move. I had never seen anything like that before. And I know, Steve, for a fact that a lot of people on the video game circuit were wondering, when are we going to get a foot pile driver like that? And I just saw, matter of fact, Adam Cole at Best in the World performing on Michael Elgin during their match. He performed off the top rope, which was, like, that was crazy. So, wow. Petey Williams will definitely be missed in the wrestling business. I don't know what the decision behind his retiring is, but hopefully he does well in his future endeavors, because he's one class act and one hell of a talent.
Yeah, definitely. Hats off on a great career. Thank you, Petey. I guess you get in a situation where, as you said, Frank, you have that stain of being a TNA wrestler. As you would say, the whip doesn't want you. You can't make any money in TNA. Who knows what's going to happen with Jeff Jarrett? And, you know, the guy's been in the business a long time. He's bumped. He's taken his share of injuries. And if I'm not going to make any money, why am I still bumping in the ring?
Right. And that's unfortunate. So, and, I mean, it's yeah. not. I mean, the whip is only going to take some of these small guys, and they want these big giants that can't move. They want people like Kali and Big Slow and Mark Henry. And I'm like, you know, if you want to trim the budget, there's three guys that they can get rid of.
The Miz.
The Miz. I mean, how many pushes does the Miz need? Okay, it's done. You can't polish a turd.
No.
And that's what the Miz is. The Miz is a turd.
And they sure try to polish a turd.
Yeah, they try all the time. The guy sucks. Let it go. Nobody gives a damn. You put Ric Flair with him back in the day. Nobody cared. He was a world champion back in the day with Alex Riley. It failed. It was a failed experiment. It's all done. I mean, they keep going back and forth to the Miz because the Miz does a damn Marine movie that I'm not going to watch.
Let me see here. Would I rather watch Great Khali barely walk to the ring, and when he falls over, can barely get up? Or would I rather watch the Canadian Destroyer? Tough decision there, Frank.
Well, I'd watch the Canadian Destroyer, but I know all the WWE marks out there are going to say, "Oh, we watch Khali.
He's awesome, former world champion."
Yeah, this is awesome. To see Khali, Khali walking to the ring. This is awesome. Khali goes over the top rope. This is awesome.
Khali drops to one knee.
This is awesome. Khali tries to get up. This is awesome.
Khali tries to talk.
Yeah, exactly. Khali tries to talk. This is awesome. The Big Show comes out there. This is awesome. He gets in the ring. You still got it.
But the Khali is big in India, so we got to keep him around.
Yeah, I bet he is.
Big time over. Well, we just last couple days here, we've had some notable dates in history pass us by. Going back 2 days on July the 6th, 1998 was the night Nitro featured Goldberg defeating Hollywood Hulk Hogan for the WCW Championship. I think this is one of those matches that people look back on and really point to a time where WCW really missed the boat. They went for the ratings, and they definitely got a good ratings number out of that match. But this was a match they could have put on pay-per-view, would have sold tickets, would have sold buys. And, you know, they missed it. They got the good rating for the night. But in the end, in the business model, they lost millions of dollars on this match.
Yeah, they should have booked this match for Starrcade 98 that year. And it was just the idiots that let this match go on air. I mean, that's the thing that I will say is that WCW was a very ratings-oriented company. And they really just could not draw on pay-per-view. And if they had built the first meeting between Hulk Hogan and Bill Goldberg for Starrcade 98, that probably would have eclipsed what they did in 97. You know, but they didn't do that. They just thought that they needed to do it on that Nitro because they had been losing the war. They did it, and yeah, it got on that rating for that night. But the next week they were beat again.
Yeah, they lost what, $7 to $10 million. They could have easily put that match on a pay per view and made it. People would have ordered that pay per view to see that match.
Yep.
Absolutely. And you know, they missed the boat on it. As you said, it's been said so many times where, you know, WCW was geared towards television and they didn't sell pay-per-views, and WWF always saved their better stuff for the pay-per-views, and that's, I think, why WWF is still around today and WCW is not.
Well, and the thing I will say about that is they said, you know, you just said the WWE always saves the best stuff for pay-per-views. Well, what's their excuse now?
They have no stuff to save.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about totally different eras, 1998 versus today, no comparison. But also going back, a date in history, I know one near and dear to your heart, and in fact you were probably alluding to this on your review there, going back to NWO Sold Out 1997, the angle that really changed the business forever was the night that Hulk Hogan showed his true colors. He turned on the Macho Man Randy Savage and joined Hall and Nash. And the birth of the New World Order, 1996, July the 7th, going back to pay-per-view in July, the Bash of the Beach, 1996, when Hulk changed the business, Frank, the guy who always told you to train and say your prayers and take your vitamins, turned heel. A lot of people didn't think that he'd ever do it. Joined the NWO and really changed WCW's fortune in 1996.
Well, not only changed WCW's fortunes, but changed the fortunes of the WWE and ECW for years to come. I mean, that's what people don't realize about the NWO storyline and how it changed the business. It changed the business for years to come. Till this day, you know, every faction that comes out tries to be a copy of NWO, except that lame Evolution. They want to be like the Four Horsemen or whatever. But NWO was a very big deal. Very big deal. And it's something that they're probably going to try again when they get very desperate to do something. They'll try it again. But, you know, it's just crazy that it's been 19 years.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
19 years, and you still see the T-shirts. You still see T-shirts in the crowd. It's still something that people talk about. It's still something that people want, you know, today. You know,
18 years.
Excuse me?
18 years.
18 years?
Yeah, 1996 is 2014 now?
Yeah.
18 years ago.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, 18 years. It's crazy that it's been 18, it's, you know, crazy, 18, 19, whatever. It's just crazy that time has gone by like it has. You know, and you look at some of the members today, they're old. Some of them, you know, still have demons that they don't get over. But that's the reason why we have the network, see, because you go back and look at that stuff, you know what I'm saying? You go back and look at the NWO in its early beginning. And then you go and look at it when it fell apart and when it got watered down and when people started to get in a group that shouldn't have been a part of the group. As me and the Jack we alluded to the other day during our Sold Out review, people like Buff Bagwell, Buff, you know, Big Bubba, Wall Street, all these J. Brown guys that should never have been a part of NWO.
Well, here's a novel idea. How about last night on Raw, alluding to that it's the anniversary of the NWO, and that if you want to see how the NWO all kicked off, not only can you go to the Vault and watch the NWO documentary, you can also go to the Vault and check out Bash at the Beach 1996, and you can see it all happen once again on the network, but they don't market it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a marketing thing to go out there and actually say, hey, this is in history, go on the network, watch it. But the problem is that you don't have the nitros to go with it.
But, I mean, they could have panned to the crowd, somebody wearing an NWO shirt and say, hey, today's the anniversary of the NWO. It's been 18 years. Go to the WWE Network, and especially those free trials, go to the network right now and go to Bash the Beach 96 in the WCW Vault. Find the pay-per-view, and you can relive the moment that Hulk Hogan became Hollywood Hulk Hogan. I mean, they missed so many opportunities like that where they can go back and date in history and say, hey, remember this? This was great stuff. Go back and watch it on the WWE Network. I mean, to me, a lot of it is just poor marketing. They really have to rethink their strategy. I mean, there's so many tie-ins they could do with the current product to the old product, but they don't do it. So, but again, if anybody wants to send this to the WWE Network, link it at WWE Network. Definitely let them know that I think we've given them a lot of good ideas here on this particular podcast.
Exactly. It's not my job to do that. I mean, I'm not on the payroll.
Nope. But if they want to hire us as advisors, well, that'd be a different situation.
If they hire me as an advisor, and they want to get some, they want to say, well, Frank, what's the first thing you want to do? You're going to updub all that damn music.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to do.
And get the AWA and the Mid-South online right now.
Exactly. I mean, if there's a problem with some of these artists, you know, man, I'll do like, you know, Suge Knight back in the day with Death Row Records. I'll hang one of them out the window until they agree to sign over the rights. So that's what I do.
If you're going to do a special on Vicky Guerrero, give me a new original special on Bobby the Brain Heenan or something like that.
Exactly. Exactly. So there you go.
Look at all the hours they have of Bobby Heenan stuff.
Right. But Vicky Guerrero is a big
deal. Get a Vicky Guerrero special.
Yeah,
come
Vicky
on.
Guerrero. I mean, really, excuse me. I mean, yeah, excuse me.
So I can see her fake vomit again.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we actually, speaking of the Wrestling Jackal, you were talking about him with your review of NWO Sold Out 1997, which you can check out at gerwick.net, as well as our are partners with Roku, or I guess you could watch us on Roku if you have the TuneIn channel, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher. A lot of ways to listen to our previous podcast as well. But Wrestling Jackal had a question for us to address right here on this particular podcast, and he asked, do you think the same fans that boo John Cena right now would cheer him if he turned heel? And that's a pretty tricky question, Frank, because I think a lot of people are sick and tired of John Cena being pushed down our throat, and I think they definitely missed the boat years ago, especially going back to that Nexus angle, to turn John Cena heel. I don't know, you think people that are booing him now would cheer him as a heel if he would actually turn a full-fledged heel?
So here's the thing with that. You got to look at it two ways. First of all, you got to look at the audience. Who is actually booing John Cena? Is it the smart mark wrestling fans, or is it the mark fans? Now, if it's the smart mark wrestling fans that are booing John Cena and are tired of John Cena, they're not going to cheer him once he turns heel. That's not going to happen. Now, my thing is that would they cheer him? I think the casual fan, will they cheer Cena if he turned heel? Probably not. Because people are just tired of John Cena. They're sick of it. It's kind of like Lex Luger back in the day. Did you really believe the whole Made in the USA Lex Luger? Was it really him? I just kind of find it funny that a guy can go from being the doctor of economics to this guy who salutes and never give up and all that. And all of a sudden now, since he got the belt back, well, now he's trying to be a thug again. It just doesn't work for me. Now, I respect John and everything he does for Make-A-Wish, and I think that's great. But on a whole other level, as far as wrestling goes, as business goes, if John Cena was the big star that they claim that he is, if he was the quote-unquote greatest champion of all time, like Michael Cole was fed to say, then there would be no such thing as a $20 million budget cut. The ratings would be going through the roof. The pay-per-view buy rates would have been going through the roof before the network. Attendance at the shows would be up. The wrestling business wouldn't be in a downside. It would be in a boom period if John Cena was that big of a star. And my thing is this, is that they're putting Roman Reigns as the next big thing, the guy that's going to take over for John Cena. When they do that, when they have another guy in place that can sell as much merchandise as a John Cena, then you can maybe think about turning Cena heel and seeing what kind of effect it would be. But it's going to have to be something that is the right story. It's just a lot of things that the stars are going to be they're going to have to be aligned in the right place in order for that to work and for that to happen. But right now, if they could turn John Cena tomorrow and people wouldn't care, it wouldn't change the reaction, because the smart mark fans, the adult male fans are the ones who are booing him. The children love Cena, and if you turn him heel, it's kind of like, well, will the children stay with Cena when Cena goes heel? You know what? Hulk Hogan had the same issue back in the day. Hulk Hogan was worried about the same thing with his work. When people see me like this, am I going to sell T-shirts? Hey, he sold a lot of T-shirts, man. It was a phenomenon. And John Cena can have the same phenomenon if WWE would do it, but they're not going to do it, and now it's too late to do it.
Totally agree. I think they totally missed the boat. Nexus would have been the time to turn him heel. That was a good angle they had going for a short period of time, and like many storylines, they just missed the boat with it. They go a different direction, and they miss out.
Cena is just not believable. It's like, okay, people say you put John Cena in a ring. You put Cena in a ring with anybody, and that person's going to be made. Cena, I don't believe that to be true.
Another thought, Frank, is if you turn him heel right now, who does he feud with?
You got Randy Orton there, who's stale.
We've already seen Cena versus Orton how many times?
Exactly. You got Cena versus Orton. You've seen that. You've seen Wyatt versus Cena. You've seen that.
CM Punk is gone. Daniel Bryan is hurt. Brock Lesnar. I don't know. I mean, part of being a really good heel is working with a very, really good babyface.
Right.
And I don't think there's any top baby faces that he turns heels is something new, something original that fans really want to see right now.
Yeah, well, I definitely don't want to see Sheamus out there. You know?
I mean, Cena heel versus Roman Reigns? I mean, is he going to turn against The Shield? I mean,
well, that could work. I mean, well,
I don't
no,
know.
There is no
I don't
Shield.
Know.
There is no Shield anymore.
I guess not, really,
but
I think about
but,
it.
But that could work.
I don't know. Is it something that people really want to see? That they want to see Cena heel against Roman Reigns' babyface? I guess it's something different, something new, but is it something that's really going to, you know, light a fire under fans that really want to tune in and watch it now?
Well,
I don't know.
Here's the thing. The thing about Roman Reigns is Roman Reigns is this cool babyface right now. And that's the difference between the two. If Cena was to turn heel and go out there and wrestle Roman Reigns, and it's still going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's go thinking that Cena sucks. Same thing. They're going to be 100% behind Roman Reigns. And they're not going to, I mean, heel or not, man, people are just not are not going to get behind John Cena.
And why would he turn? I mean, he's jealous of Roman Reigns, so he turns on him? I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
Right.
A guy who's a 15-time world champion is going to turn against Roman Reigns, who's just coming up and coming guy right now? That's what I mean. They just don't have any top guys for him to really feud with as a heel.
Right.
So they don't want to see Randy Orton. They don't want to see Triple H. I mean, it has to be a really top babyface. Like I said, CM Punk is injured, and Daniel Bryan is gone, and they are kind of weak on that babyface side right now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Cena heel versus Undertaker?
Taker,
I don't know.
Taker, you know, honestly, I don't want to see Undertaker anymore. You know what I mean?
How about heel Cena against babyface Sting?
That could have worked. That could have worked 4 years ago.
Yeah, I was saying not today.
No.
Let's go to our question from Ravon. He's always checks in with a weekly comment, and he's got two questions for us this week. One wrestling related, and one real world issue here. His first question is: of all the Intercontinental Champions in history, who do you think is the best, and who do you think is the worst? And of course, we just did the tournament to crown the best Intercontinental Champion, or the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, and we agreed with the outcome. It was Macho Man Randy Savage winning that tournament, and we both agreed he is the best IC champion in the history of IC champions. Now, the flip side is, who is the worst? And we came up with some names here that we looked through the list, and there's Curtis Axel, and there's Ezekiel Jackson, and yet we still agreed that the worst IC champion of all time is a guy who just retired, Santino Marella.
Yeah, I'm on a toss up right now between Santino Marella and China.
I forgot about China as well. Yeah, throw China in the mix as well.
Yeah, I'm
I don't know. I would even say China was more credible than Santino.
I agree. Santino just never did anything for me. The whole Cobra deal, and it's lame. It's not funny. That's the reason why when you go out to people and say, "Oh yeah, I'm a WWE fan." That's for kids. That's why you get embarrassed to be a wrestling fan. Why you can't wear? Please, I'd be out of my mind to wear a damn John Cena T-shirt out in the crowd, out in the public. You know, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to have a John Cena shirt on. Yeah, right. I'll probably get jumped on the way out.
So I would agree. I think Santino was probably the worst. I never thought much of Ezekiel Jackson. They gave him a little bit of a run, but you know, Curtis Axel had it for a long time. It did nothing for him. Part of it is that the title doesn't really mean anything anymore. You know, we were looking back at the history of the IC champion in the 80s and the 90s. We had some great champions like Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect and Macho Man Randy Savage, the Honky Tonk Man, etc. Now you change it so often, and these guys aren't over. They're very green. Some of the guys getting the championships, but Santino winning the title at a SummerSlam where he didn't even have to pin the current champion. Where it was what the IC Championship was up in a Divas match, tag team match with Beth Phoenix. I mean, what a weak way to win the IC Championship.
Yeah. Yeah, totally
that shows you what the IC Championship means. I put up in a tag match where the IC and the Divas Championship is on the line.
Yep.
At a SummerSlam, that just shows you how far down the line that IC Championship really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I mean, how far does it come from on the SummerSlam when you have previous SummerSlams where you've had the Ultimate Warrior win the belt from the Honky Tonk Man, to you've had Kerry Von Erich and Texas Tornado beat Mr. Perfect, you know, to The Rock and Triple H having a ladder match at SummerSlam for the Intercontinental Belt, to having that match you just mentioned. That just really shows you where that's happening.
Bulldog versus Bret Hart.
Bulldog versus Bret Hart, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
That was 1992, Wembley Stadium, yep.
Yep, exactly. One of the best Intercontinental Championship matches of all time.
Yep.
Definitely one of the most memorable. And then the second question is not wrestling related. He says, do you think Osama bin Laden was dead when they announced it, or do you think he is still live and well, living or hiding somewhere in Asia? Frank, I really believe he died in 2001, 2002, somewhere along those lines. He was very sick at that time. He was on kidney dialysis. I know a lot of intelligence have come forward and said that he's been dead for a number of years, and they just sat on it until they really needed a situation where they can throw it out there and fans will start talking, or I should say fans, people will start talking about, oh, they killed Osama bin Laden. This was, of course, came out at the time where a lot of people were talking if current President Obama was born in Africa or not.
Right.
And there was some question, could he even legitimately be the president of the United States? And then was it got a little hotter? Suddenly they rolled out, Osama bin Laden's been killed in Pakistan. He was living in this compound near a U.S. military base. And then, of course, they kill him and they dump him in the water somewhere. I mean, it was such a nonsense of a story, you know, once you were kind of awake to what's going on. So I think Osama bin Laden's been dead for probably a decade now. And it's really sad, kind of relating to that situation, that so many of the Navy SEALs that were involved in that particular operation have died. There was a number of them that died in Afghanistan when an out-of-date helicopter crashed on some Ranger mission they had. And it's a real sad situation, Frank, but I really think Osama bin Laden's been dead for a long time.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I mean, I saw videos of the guy on TV that, you know, his face looked different. I think the guy, like you said, I think the guy died in 2001, and they've just been riding it ever since then. But we'll never know, because a lot of that was classified information, and until it becomes declassified, until people start to wake up and see what the real agenda is, we'll never know.
And, of course, you know, Osama bin Laden was a CIA agent. I believe Daddy bin Laden got a lot of his money in construction through U.S. contracts, building U.S. military bases around the world. We know relationship between the bin Ladens and the Bushes. In fact, you know, when they grounded the airplanes after 9/11, there were certain people that were allowed to fly out of the country. You know who they were?
Yeah.
Osama bin Laden family members.
Yeah.
They were allowed to leave the country, though all the planes were halted for a day or two while they figured out what to do from there. So what a frustrating situation. But, yeah, I think Osama bin Laden was dead in 2001, 2002. He was a perfect scapegoat because he was on his deathbed. They could blame a guy in the cave with the beard who they trained, who they gave the money to, and not that many people know about it. In fact, there's a lot of people who don't know Osama bin Laden was CIA.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a totally a messed up situation.
Yeah.
And it's really too – and the sad thing is there's a lot of Navy SEALs I know – want to come forward and say, you know, we were set up, that it was a body double inside the building. It really wasn't Osama bin Laden, because, you know, Osama bin Laden's been dead, but a lot of them couldn't come forward, and a lot of them have died under unusual circumstances. We'll leave it at that. And yeah, that's the mafia government that's running this country right now, unfortunately. So, but as always, Ravon, we do appreciate your question, and if you have a question for us, and I want to probably should announce this up front, Frank. We actually now have a email address for people to address Gerwick Report comments or questions directly to us. You can now email us, gerwickreport@gerwick.net. So if you have a question, a comment, a concern, you want to agree with us, you want to disagree with us, you have a topic you would like us to address, wrestling or non-wrestling related, as we just did here with a Ron, you can email us, gerwickreport@gerwick.net. And as we close out the show here, I'm at Gerwick on Twitter, Steve Gerwick for Anti-NWO, the real NWO that's taken over the world. I'm on Facebook, as Steve Gerwick. I'm on our website, Gerwick.net on Facebook. Frank is Real Frank D-E-E on Twitter. And I definitely would recommend you follow Frank because he always comes up with some unusual or off-the-wall comments about what's going on in wrestling. So if you want to have some entertaining tweets, I definitely recommend Frank. I know you're getting a little more involved with that Twitter now.
Yeah, I usually just, if I'm bored, I'll usually come up with some things to say. I'll usually just come up with some things on the fly. Like, if I'm at Walmart and I see a big, fat female pig, I'm going to write about it.
At least you don't put that you are visiting McDonald's or something, or Wendy's. There's some people that will tweet about anything.
Right.
You go to the donut shop, and here's a picture of the donut you're eating. I really don't need to see that.
No, I don't need to see anybody who says they ordered 200 Big Macs. That's there.
So as always, definitely follow us on social media. As we said, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and there's a lot of ways to reach us. We always appreciate you listening to the podcast that tells it like it is. And Frank D., I'm looking forward to the next podcast.
You see, I'm always looking forward to the next one.
All right, so for all your wrestling news 24/7, again, check out www.gerweck.net.